ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, fans of all ages, it's your favorite time of the week. You might need to brace yourself and grab a cold beverage. Mark and Scott are ready to drop some college football betting knowledge on your ass. The boys are back and ready to help you find some angles to beat your book, impress your friends, and get you ready to enjoy the greatest sport on the planet. So sit back and enjoy, because we're damn happy to have you. Welcome to the Crazy Sheet.
Scotty, my brother, it's the most wonderful time of the year. Bowl season is upon us, and I will tell you right now, I used to love bowl season. I still do, giving us opportunities to bet on some games. But with the transfer portal, people opting out, it is a lot of digging you got to do to figure out who's playing these, man. But brother, how the hell are you?
Man, I'm good. Still mourning the Mike Leach loss.
Gosh.
For us, that was sad. What was the most interesting part of the? There's a couple things. First, there may never be another coach that three fan bases call him their own.
I agree,
and I think that says a lot about Mike Leach. Actually, I'm going to say three things. Second, that dude is three games short of making the College Football Hall of Fame is complete and utter bullshit. I don't think anybody other than Emory Ballard inventing the option back in the 60s or whatever, it has had remotely as big of an effect on college football as Mike Leach has. You look at all the coaches that, you really don't have to go much farther than that first Texas Tech staff and how great some of those guys were. And I'm not saying he made Art Briles a great coach. I'm just saying they changed the game. And the guys are still changing it. The Sonny Dykes, who's on that staff, Lincoln Riley, who I think was a quarterback on that team. If he wasn't, he was shortly thereafter that and then became a student coach.
Yeah.
When Leach talks him out of playing, and which is another great story about it. He was going to bail on his dad, goes and tells him, was like, well, maybe you ought to listen to him. You know, and then here he is, you know, coaching one of the probably five or six best programs in the country.
Sure.
You know, after coaching another one of the five or six best teams in the country. I mean, one of the best programs traditionally in the country. So, I mean, and the dude's not even 40 yet. If he is, he's much over 40. So it's just an amazing deal for him. And then the guy was at a Christmas party on Saturday night with the local media that covers him. He hears about the Christmas party and just shows up. No other coaches like that. And then you start hearing all these stories of especially young reporters
incredible.
Around Starkville. And it's incredible about how he treats them and how nice he is to them. And, you know, it's just – but people aren't like that. I mean, you watch how Saban treats the media and you watch how most coaches treat the media. I shouldn't even pick on Saban. It's how most coaches treat them. They're just – man, they are never going to be that open, never going to be that different. And we lost a true treasure in college football. You know, so just a sad time all around for college football. But if that guy didn't make the College Football Hall of Fame, it's total bullshit. Let me just say that.
I would 100% agree with you. My wife went to Tech. We enjoyed Mike Leach after he came in, after Spike Dykes. It was a big shell shock for the Texas Tech fan base when he came in. Keep in mind, they had gone from a 3 yards in a cloud of dust style offense to the air raid, which no one knew what it was, what was going to happen. It almost upset people at first. And then just being a pioneer and a trailblazer in a sense that the way he was willing to do things and his quirky, awkward sense, but yet very intelligent. There's one story, I've never heard any stories about it, but I'll tell this because it would be the day, if I could ever listen to someone tell it, I'd want Matthew McConaughey and George Bush to sit down. But Leach, when he was not coaching, he was on college football or college sports radio, which was station 84 on Sirius XM, for those of you who remember. And at the time, it was hard to get a lot of college content, you know. And so you were still having to dig and scrape. The internet was in its infancy. There wasn't all these different sites you could go to pull information from. But Leach had the daytime show with Jack Arute, who's been a commentator for years, does a lot of IRL type stuff. And Leach was, he would literally broadcast from his porch in Key West. And I remember one time Arute asked him if he had an interesting summer off as they were getting started. And he said, yeah, I went over to Italy and I coached a team over there for a while, did some clinics. And then I got invited by President George Bush to come hang out at his ranch for the weekend with Matthew McConaughey. And we had some fantastic conversations. And I thought, man, I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall drinking bourbon, listening to what those guys talked about for the weekend. Just some interesting ways of looking at things and some guys that have had some times behind them. So it's a sad loss. I will be honest with you. I don't know. I felt a little hole in my heart when I heard the news that he had finally passed away after that. And I don't typically get upset about celebrities passing or anything of that nature. And so he will be very much missed. And all the tributes that all the stations have done, the media has done, like you said, the young sports writers, you can go find feeds on Twitter and things like that. It's been fantastic. So I will miss Mike Leach. I deeply hope Mississippi State, which I don't think they will, pulls off the black uniforms with the pirate helmet on the side for the bowl game. That would be fantastic. Or maybe to open a game up next year, that'd be super cool, man, because what a neat guy he was.
Yep, I don't know if they can get all the helmets and jerseys done by then, but I would expect them to do something cool. Somebody was rolling around the pirate, you know, flag or whatever with the sword, which is kind of like the Tampa Bay Bucks logo. They'd obviously have to, I can't imagine the Bucks wouldn't sign off on that. If they could get that done in the Buccaneer Stadium, I think would be pretty cool, because that's where State's playing. So I think that'd be super cool. But it is just an interesting loss. Remember when I'm complaining about him not being in the College Football Hall of Fame, he won 59.6% of his games in three places that are completely off the grid.
Right.
And Tech is the team that's got the best winning percentage all time of that at 552. But State, you know, they're not remotely at that level. Washington State's not remotely at that level. He has done it at places that were off the grid. Paul Feinbaum told a great story, you know, the day after he passed away on SEC Network and on his show, that Tennessee was going to hire him. And that's when they fired the AD. You know, when all that deal went on with Schiano and all that, that's where they had settled and they were going to hire him. And then, of course, they hired Jeremy Pruitt. It's a disaster. They get on probation. And then they go hire a Leach disciple and he blows it up. Wouldn't you have loved to have seen what Leach could have done at a place like Tennessee? I would have. I certainly would have. You know, look, he was a unique guy. I mean, I made the comment to you, he was a lot more fun when he was somebody else's circus. But, I mean, the guy was a super nice guy. And there are so many stories about, you know, how engaged he was and just approachable he was and things like that. And that's just rare. I mean, that's just rare. And that's why people miss him. And that's why you saw the outpouring. So, anyway, on to bowl games. But it was a sad time.
It was. Scotty, bowl season is here. We finished the season on a kind of a split note. The under hit again in the Army-Navy game. My five-way under bet where I cut it up into took the game under and then cut up the quarters. I lost the third quarter, but I won the first, the second, and the fourth. So that turned out good for me. And then I pushed on the Army bet. So all in, pretty good season. We're only a couple units above 500. Let's see if we can't make us a little bit more money as we get into this. Couple things I'll warn you about if you haven't bet bowl season before, especially now. Since the Christian McCaffrey, Leonard Fournette, probably, I want to say 2016 season, when we saw them opt out of the bowls, that was really the first time you saw big-name players start opting out of bowl games that didn't quote-unquote mean anything. So you kind of have to pay attention to that. Now the news seems to be coming out a lot earlier. The other thing you've got is you've got over 1,000 kids in the transfer portal. We're not going to talk too much about that because that's a lot of news that's out there. But then you've got weird circumstances like the quarterback at Western Kentucky who entered the portal on the 5th, and now he's back after not getting some options that you've got there. You've got Grayson McCall from Coastal who's entered the portal, but then says he's going to play the game. Scott will tell you he's at Auburn this weekend taking a look at it, which will be a great fit for him. And so you're going to have to dig into these lines, pay attention to the news. A couple of things I'll point out that I have found over the years from a betting perspective, and this is just a couple of 2 cents worth for that I picked up from sharper handicappers. First thing you got to look at is personnel disruptions. Not just on the team, but even in the coaching staff. You've got OCs that have been leaving. You've got head coaches that have been leaving. Interim coaches have not performed very well, especially coaches that and coaching staffs that have been fired. They have not performed very well when it comes to bowl games. And so if you've got an interim coach, take a look at it. I would fade most interim coaches. If you see big line movements in the totals or in the line, if you see line movements that have moved 3 to 3.5 points, I would go with the chalk on that one in a sense that the line movement over time, you've seen that over, you know, a 3-point line over the last since 2021, or they had 22 games, 17 and 5 against the spread anytime you've seen a 3-point line move. So we've already seen some of those come about. Teams' excitement level to play in the game, you're going to have to do some digging on the beat writers. You know, what's their motivation to cover if they really want to do that? And then the other thing is some regional bias. You've got some teams that aren't traveling that far to play in bowl games, and that could be exciting for them. And then teams that completely overperformed, like Troy, who came in the season with an over-under win total 6.5 and finished the season at 11-2, and so is the Sun Belt champ. So there's a lot of things you can take into consideration for bowls. Those are some that I typically try to look into. Have you got any of those that you dig into before you dive into the trying to make any money on these things?
I really look at the personnel as much as I can. I have changed. I won't bet any of these games until basically game time. I mean, I will be a game day bet on everything because you just don't know who's going to opt in, who's going to opt out, who's going to get hurt, who hits the portal. You know what? Look, man, there's still a lot of coaching dominoes left to fall. You know who's going to go where. You know, State's obviously in the market for an offensive coordinator, but what does Zach Arnett do on defense? Does he want to keep calling the defense and be a defensive guy and then hire a good offensive coordinator and let him roll? He's making significantly less money, so he's got the money to go hire a big time OC. If the guy can let him, if he lets it roll, does he decide he wants to hire a defense coordinator too and just totally shift the staff around? You don't know what's going to happen with all those things yet. And that's the reason I say bet those games as you get close. You may have some guys that are 1 foot out the door because they're taking another job. Like I told you, I have seen guys that are, you know, that are college, you know, graduates, student coaches, coaching positions in bowl games. The biggest thing to me is a team motivated to be there or not?
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I'll never forget the year Dan Mullen left and Mississippi State is playing Louisville and a Heisman winner with a great defense in the bowl game. I was convinced Louisville was going to drill us and State was ready to play. And they wanted – that defense wanted some of the Heisman winner. And they played like it. Dude, we had student coaches. We only had like 6 coaches full-time. Now, the flip side was the guys that stuck around all knew they were going to Mullen's staff. They all already had jobs. And so they weren't – you know, they weren't 1 foot out the door. They were going to finish what they started, basically, because they already had a job. So you just don't know. You really got to dig in. Bowls are hard. And transfer portals just made it that much harder.
All right, brother, let's dig in. First game we've got, Miami of Ohio will be playing against UAB in the Bahamas Bowl. That game is Friday afternoon. We record this Thursday morning. It's game 201, 202 on your rotation sheet. Over-under here sits at about 44.5. UAB is laying 10.5 in this one. If I'm not betting this game, I'm going to pass. I think UAB is the winning side. I would definitely take a look at the weather in the Bahamas Bowl. It's not going to be rainy or cold, but there has been some crazy wind games in this before. And we've seen some gigantic numbers come from this. And so looking at the weather, you might have a chance to sniff the under. UAB wants to pound the rock. I think Miami, Ohio is probably going to struggle to slow them down. And Miami, Ohio's hasn't been great all season, kind of underperforming team. I mean, they're only scoring 20 points a game. And then the quarterback they thought was Gabbert was going to transfer, but apparently now he's back. But I got no hard play on this one.
Yeah, I got no play on this either. I do like the next ball game, though. I like me a little Troy UTSA.
Well, let's get to the Duluth Cure Trading Bowl this lineup. This game's going to be in Orlando, Florida. You're going to have beautiful weather tomorrow afternoon, 3 o'clock. It's game 202-203. Over-unders at 55. Troy opened at plus 1.5. Troy is now laying 1.5. Frank Harris, they best have paid him a pile of money because he's coming back to play for UTSA. It's been a consistent team the last couple of years. Troy, really an upstart in the Sun Belt, winning the conference championship. And I think you're going the same way I'm going, Scotty, which is the
over. I like the over in this.
I do, too. Troy, their last three games, you know, we taught them as a big defensive player, and they are. They only gave up 17.5 points a game. But what you're really looking at last three games, they scored 45, 48, and 34 the last couple of games. Now, keep in mind, those are not great defenses. They played in Coastal, Arkansas State, Ula Monroe. But UTSA's defense isn't great either. UTSA strives on wanting to move the ball. Troy's defense is great against, you know, it's pretty good against, you know, against the run that they've got there. But I think where you're going to see that really UTSA exploit them is through the air. Frank Harris and those guys that aren't scared to sling it and ring it out. I think we're going to get some points in this one. I'm going over 55. That's one of the few bets I got on the table. Now let's go to the
Troy is they're a Hail Mary away from being 11-1.
Yes, they are.
A Hail Mary. Yeah. That was short of the end zone.
Yep.
And the guy ran it in. Yeah. So, I mean, that, people forget that. Played a really good second half against the good Ole Miss team to start the year. This team's a pretty good football team. They have played the best team. They played South Alabama, the best team in the league, obviously. Or second best team, I should say, in the league. Won that game on the road in a hard-fought game. But this offense does feel like it's starting to get clicking a little bit. And at the end of the day, I lean towards this because I think the Beep Beeps are going to be able to score enough. And I think their defense is not quite as good as that offense, and this Troy offense is going to be able to keep up. I'll tell you, I think Troy's going to win this game.
It'd be interesting. I think it's going to be one of the better bowl games. If you get a chance Saturday,
I think it's going to be a great game.
I agree. I will be watching this one as I drive. Don't repeat that to anybody that'll be following me. Next game, the Wasabi Fenway Bowl. I didn't know a Spice could sponsor something, but apparently they are. The Wasabi Fenway Bowl, the interim coach bowl, Cincy against Louisville. Line here opened at 45.5, Louisville minus 2. Line currently sits at 39.5, Louisville minus 1.5. If I play this game, I'm going dead under. Malik Cunningham for Louisville's out. He's opted out. They've got their top receiver and running back out. And, oh, by the way, this game kicks off at 11 a.m. Eastern time. So 10 o'clock, if you want to make that bet and you're in Central Time Zone. And the weather Saturday is snow and rain, high temperatures of 41, low of 30, and you're looking at 19-mile-an-hour wind with 15 to 19-mile-an-hour wind gusts. Interim coaches.
Get some under.
I'm getting some under. I may go for some first half under. Just putting that out there for you. That's kind of my lean on where I go from there. Next game, let's go Las Vegas Bowl. Florida, Oregon State. This is an interesting game to me. Over-under here is at 56, opened at 56. Oregon State to minus 5. Now the line's down to 52.5. Oregon State minus 10.5. That's one of those line moves that you've seen go over 3 points. Florida, I think the kid that's going to play quarterback for them is Jack Campbell. Is that his name? He's a transfer from Ohio State. He hurt his thumb. And he's been out most of the season. They list him as third string, but he probably would have been second string had he not been injured most of the year. But this Florida team's been a mess. From a motivational standpoint, I'm kind of interested to see, do they really even care about going to this game? As you got an Oregon State team who has not been in a ton of bowl games and getting a chance to come down here, they're having to cover a big number. And when you look at that SEC-Oregon State matchup, I would always lean to the SEC. I mean, hell, Florida beat Utah. And I know that was in Gainesville. I kind of lean Oregon State in this one, but I don't know if I want to lay 10.5 points.
Yeah, I feel like that may be too many points. Man, the Gators got 16 people in the portal at last count. Obviously, their quarterback's out. Their second-team quarterback's out. Dealing with a guy who's not taking very many snaps as a Gator. I just wonder what in the world the motivation they've got. They got to fly all the way across the country to get to Vegas. This just doesn't seem like a good spot, but, man, that does. That does sound like a lot of spots. And you got a first-year coach. How much can Billy Napier really afford to lay a turd and get drilled by a mid-level Pac-12 team?
Yeah.
Because I think that doesn't speak well to the direction of the program if he does. So, I think he's got to get them, figure out how to get what he's got motivated and at least keep this game close. So, I'm with you. I'm not going to touch this game because of how many holes the Gators have got. I mean, look, they're Swiss cheese at this point.
Yeah, ungood at this one. All right, let's move down to L.A. The Jimmy Kimmel Bowl will be played in SoFi Stadium. Washington State against Fresno State. I appreciate the correction last week when I thought we were going to have the Kalen DeBoer Bowl. I read the stats wrong. Line opened up at 54.5. Fresno State plus 2.5. Now the line's down to 52.5. Fresno State's laying 3.5. I think people thought Jake Haener was going to opt out of this game. He's not. He's going to play. If I go anywhere, I would lean Fresno State. Now, I will tell you this much, as you and I talked about, Fresno State's picking up 92% of the money on 57% of the betting tickets here. So, Scotty may go contrarian on me and go Washington State.
Well, Wazoo's got their same deal as Florida. They got 14 guys in the portal.
Yeah.
What I am really stunned about, and I understand that some of these guys are leaving because they think they want to try to upgrade programs. And what I don't understand is the guy who got you good, why are you bailing? They obviously know how to use you and use your skill set. What in the world? I mean, fit matters. I mean, it really does. And I just don't understand why all these guys are leaving from programs where they're winning 7-8 ball games, things like that. And I understand a lot of them are first-year coaches and second-year coaches, but, man, it just is – the portal's just a mess. But, this has a lot of the feel of Fresno State wants to be there more than Wazoo wants to be there. There's no way this would be this big of a line, the way it is if it was regular season, but this ain't regular season, so feels like Wazoo doesn't care as much as Fresno does. So I think Fresno probably the way to go. You mentioned the big line swing; that's always a sign.
Yeah, big line swing in this one, and you also got to keep in mind, Fresno's only about a 2.5 hour drive from Los Angeles. And so this would be a great weekend getaway coming from the Valley to go down to L.A. to come watch this game. With Wazoo, you got to come down from, get down there from Pullman. It's a little bit more of a trip. All right, next game, we're going to talk about the Mustard Buzzards, baby. Southern Miss against Rice. Rice got a 5-7 record, but they got into this because of their academic standards that are there. I'm USM all the way in this one. The Mustard Buzzards last year had 10 kids take snaps. This year they narrowed it down to 5, even with some injuries that they've got there. Frank Gore Jr. is still one of the better players on the team. Rice has not been great. They are a turnover machine. This team is negative 16 in the turnover margin. Offensively, they just haven't quite gotten it all together. And they have, I think in their last 5 games, they're like 1-4. That's right. Yeah, 1-4 straight up, with the only win being a 37-30 win over UTEP. And so I'm going to roll with the Mustard Buzzards here. I feel like this team's got some good positive mojo, way overperformed what people thought they were going to in this one. And this is practically a home game as it's being played in Mobile, Alabama.
Yeah, I just can't. The Buzzards certainly are trending in the right direction, and I keep trying to talk myself out of laying this many points on those guys, but it's hard to do because Rice is not very good, and we actually won some money a couple of times on Rice this year. I got a cover out of them later in the year, but it does feel like with this being this close of a game, I do like the Buzzards in this ball game and laying the points, even though I really, really tried to talk myself out of it. There's been some question of whether Gore was going to hit the portal. Was he going to stay? All of that. Is he going to go pro? Stuff like that. So it's a, that's a little bit interesting to see. but see if he's actually in the ballgame, something you got to watch continually as these guys decide if they're going pro, decide if they're going to the portal, things like that.
Next game, the New Mexico Bowl. This game's weird. You've got the Methodist and the boys in special underwear. Line opened at the over-under in this game opened at 73.5. BYU minus 1.5. It has now swung to over-under at 64.5 and BYU plus 3.5. I cannot get a read if Jaren Hall is playing or not. Quarterback for BYU. I'm also not convinced they're that good. This SMU team comes in here. I think their best wide receiver has opted out for this game. I need to dig into it more. But if you're just following the trend on line moves in this one, it would be an under in SMU, which seems super odd and uncorrelated. I would probably go under 64. I'm not playing this game. What the fuck am I talking about? It's the New Mexico Bowl. They give away that big shitty trophy, and I think it's sponsored by Gildan still. I'm out. If you got it, you can go on it.
You know what? This game's usually cold and nasty. Even when it's sunny, it feels like it's 25 degrees in those games. And I think this is where UTEP was last year, and it was cold and windy, and you know the weather was brutal out there. And I'm sure that's what we're going to get again. I will not bet on this game. This game doesn't interest me at all. trying to bet that SMU defense on an under in a snowstorm would be hard to do.
Next game, Scotty, the one that's only a 9-iron from your house. UNT comes in with an interim coach, plays Boise State. Over-under opened at 55.5, Boise State minus 7.5. We're seeing the line move. Over's now at 59.5, Boise State minus 10.5. Boise State's played better. What do you got on this one?
I like Boise here mainly because you got a coaching staff that got fired at North Texas. You know, and which I was very surprised they made that move.
Yeah.
That did kind of surprise me. But I think Boise has played better since they fired their offensive coordinator, got things. It looked like they got going in the right direction. This is very, very close. North Texas played in Frisco last year. I don't think it was technically the Frisco Bowl. I think it was the additional bowl game that Frisco played because they had more teams than bowls last year. But either way, Frisco they were in Frisco last year. This is so close to North Texas. People probably don't realize this is literally a 15, 20-minute drive, 30-minute drive max for North Texas. It is not very far for them to get down here. This is basically a home game for North Texas. It'll play that way. I just think Boise's that much better of a football team. I just think they're going to win this game. The rushing yards per attempt for North Texas are really, really scary. And you got a team at Boise that sets everything up off the run. So that is a little concerning because I still think they're going to be able to throw the football on this football team as well. So North Texas loves to run the football. That's where it all goes for them. They get some gash plays in the passing game. But at the end of the day, I think this Boise State defense is going to be able to stop that run game. I think this is a better football team. I think they win the game.
I think Boise trucks these guys personally. You're seeing a big move to the over at over 59. A lot of money coming in on that. But I would lean Boise here minus the point. I really don't want to lay 10.5, but I think I may end up doing it if I bet it. Moving on, next one, you got Myrtle Beach Bowl playing the Chanticleer Stadium. It's going to be on the teal turf. UConn, Marshall, over under 40. UConn getting 10. Man, motivational monster in UConn. Do they get a bowl win and end up being 7-6 on the season?
Boy, this seems like a big number for a team that's never gotten there. I mean, it really does. But they can only run the football. And you are playing against a team that gives up less than 90 yards a game on the ground. So this does not set up ideally for UConn.
No.
But, man, it seems like a lot of points. I mean, it does seem like a lot of points. I think this game goes under.
Under 40? Holy shit. I would lean Marshall here, and I guess I could get down under 40. I don't have a play in this game, but I would definitely lean Marshall minus 10 here because I agree with you. UConn is a run-first, almost run-only team, and Marshall can stop the run. If they can do anything, they can stop the run. But
look, I'll be cheering for Connecticut because I just think the turnaround's awesome.
Yeah.
That this team has fixed it that fast. I think Moore has done a great job. What sucks about the National Coach of the Year awards and things like that is it's always a guy who's competing for the Natty, you know, who's, oh, man, he's, you know, he's turned it around. He's done great. Oh, look at the job that Lincoln Riley's done, blah, 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 blah. What the hell's Lincoln Riley done besides bring a great quarterback with him? He brought all the talent in. I mean, it's not like he's got a bad roster. Man, Jim Mora had a train wreck. And to win six games with that mess, I think is a phenomenal job. I mean, just a – and I think people miss that. It's a lot harder to go – it's really hard to go from 5 wins to 10 wins. You know, when schools do that, they're doing an incredible job. You look at a Troy, guys like, man, those guys are doing incredible jobs. I understand it's always going to go to the big-time schools, but I will be cheering for Mora just because of the job he's done fixing what has been a disaster for a decade or longer than a decade.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. I don't know if I'm going to play this game, but anyway, famous Idaho Potato Bowl, Eastern Mich is playing San Jose State. Line on this one's over under 53.5. San Jose State laying 4.5, moved down to 3.5 in this one. I'm leaning Eastern Mich in this one. Eastern Mich finished season 8-4. I kind of like it. They're 6-3-1 against the spread. San Jose State, after losing that teammate in a car wreck, has really been kind of on a skid. I'm wondering how motivated they are to be in this spot. This team has not covered in over 6 weeks. In their last 5 weeks, their only wins come against Hawaii, Colorado State, and Nevada, which were three of the worst teams, not just in the Mountain West, but in the country. They gave up 43 points to a San Diego State team whose offense is putrid, and a Utah State team who is just confused disaster most of the time. And the other thing going for you, this game kicks off Saturday morning or Saturday afternoon at 12:30 local time. And the temperature at kickoff is going to be a whopping 18, 19 degrees with the topping out at 24. I have a hard time believing all the kids from California are going to be super excited to play in this. And Ypsilanti, man, that might be kind of balmy this time of year for those kids up there. I'm going Eastern Mich, baby, getting 3.5.
I like this call. I like this, too. I think this is a good way to play this game. I agree with you. I don't know how motivated they're going to be to play. Eastern Mich, a team that snuck up and won 8 ball games. You didn't realize they were that good until so late in the season. But I agree with you. I think they're going to be able to score enough points that if they don't win this game, to cover, but I think they're a live dog here. This may give you some money line action in this ball game because I agree with you. Weather matters. I mean, it matters in these games. You cannot tell me that a kid from San Fran is fired up to go play in 25 degree weather with cold and windy on the high plains. I can't imagine anybody's real fired up from that team to play in Eastern Michigan. You know, this is no change for these guys at this time of the year. They're used to it. And so I do think it matters.
Interesting game. Next one, we got Liberty-Toledo, and we're always about against the MAC. Liberty-Toledo game. Game opened up at 54.5. Toledo's minus 1.5. Now the game's down to 53.5. Toledo's minus 4.5. Do you have any interest in this game at all?
Nope, hard pass.
In the Boca Raton Bowl? Moving on. R.L. Carroll, yep. New Orleans Bowl. This is usually a pretty good bowl game. Western Kentucky and South Alabama, over under 61. South Alabama's laying 3.5. Over under's now shifted down to 55.5. South Alabama's minus 4.5. Western Kentucky's quarterback came back, entered the portal. Now he's back. South Alabama's actually played really well this season. I got nothing on this one. Do you have a play here?
I like South Alabama here. I think this may be a little too many points. I think it's going to be a fun game to watch. I mean, these two teams have won 18 games between them.
Yeah.
I mean, you start getting in these early ball games, and we were talking about Troy earlier. They got 22 wins in that ball game.
Yeah.
And these are going to be fun games. These teams have got something. Both these teams have got something to play for. And I think that does make a difference. You know, Western Kentucky's had 12 guys at the portal. I think that did include QB who's now back, so really 11 guys in the portal. Womack's doing a great job at South Alabama. That guy's going to be on the radar. His dad was a longtime defense coordinator in the South. was all over the SEC at Southern Miss, some places like that. I think he's a guy to be on the watch if he continues to do what he's doing for a head coaching job. And so I think South Alabama, I think they may win this ball game, but I don't know if they're going to win it by 4.5. That seems like a big number. So I probably will not play this game just based on those numbers, but I do like South Alabama.
I don't understand the big shift to the under here with the line drop. I mean, obviously we talked about when you see that, you're seeing 75% of the money is coming in on under 56, but these are two of the better scoring offenses in the G5 level. I mean, they both have pretty good defenses as well, but offensively is where these teams have kind of strived this season. So I'm going to dig a little bit more into this one in this Western Kentucky portal. I might go contrarian and go on the over, but we'll see. Next one, Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl, Baylor and Air Force. I am dead under. Line opened at 47. It's been bumped up to 48.5. I am under on this one all the way. That's going against the line move. Temperatures in this game shouldn't be too bad. Normally it's cold. It's going to be in the 30s, low 40s in this one. Not a lot of wind. It's a Thursday night game. Air Force is just going to line up and run the option. Baylor fired their defensive coordinator, who is now taking the job at Auburn, I believe, in Ron Roberts. I just don't know how much motivation you've got to build a defense in your 15 practices against a team that runs the triple option every play. And Air Force hasn't played that well this season. And so I think Baylor's defense can rise up and get a stop here and there, but I'm going under on this one. I think this game's just going to be gross. I'm going to get it done, but this is a hard pass for me.
Yeah, this seems like a hard pass for me, too. If anything, what it feels like is this ought to be score fest. But is Toon playing in this ball game for Houston?
I think so. I haven't seen anything other than that.
So, if he does, this game feels like there ought to be some points scored in this ball game, even though Ulala is not very good on offense. You're only talking 58. I think that's got a chance again, although as I said, it starts getting cold. Shreveport will be the same way. It starts getting cold around Christmas here. So I think Shreveport is going to be a little chillier than it normally is at this time of the year as well. So this could be a chance to get some scoring. I just don't feel like Ulala has had a very good year for what they were expecting at 6-6. I mean, this is a team that's been winning 10 games and has been winning 10 games a lot in the last 10, 12 years. I don't feel like they're real excited to be here. So this is a pass for me as a whole.
The Gasparilla Bowl, Wake Forest and Mizzou, over under 62. Mizzou's getting 1.5. Lines moved down to 60.5. I would lean SEC. I don't know. Wake Forest is really faded at the end of this season, and I'm going to hard pass on this one as well. I got nothing.
Yeah, I would. You know, it feels like you would. You'd say, "Hey, let's bet Missouri." They have generally pounded ACC teams in this type situation, but man, Mizzou's got some problems too. So I feel like Drinkwitz needs to win this ball game. I feel like they've got more motivation, but man, they got some transfer guys. Their quarterback's hitting the board.
Yeah. So I'm saying it's like there's a lot going on here if you want to bet this game. It's a hard pass. Last one, Scotty. The Easy Post Hawaii Bowl. It'll be played at Chang Stadium, which only holds 9,000 people. Middle Tennessee State and San Diego State. Over-unders at 49.5. San Diego State's laying 6.5. If I do anything, I would go under on this game. You tend to get some weird wins in this stadium because you're basically playing in a high school stadium. And we know San Diego State loves to play that D, but I have the hard nothing on this one. You got anything?
New Year's Eve, 7 p.m. kickoff.
Well, that game kicks off at like noon Hawaii time because I've been to.
Yeah, I know. I just think it's hilarious. Christmas Eve night game, baby. You got to love it for the rest of the U.S. So that'll be interesting. Middle Tennessee has got some guys who can make some explosive plays, but I just don't feel like this is a very good football team. But at the end of the day, I don't think San Diego State's any good either.
No.
So if I was taking this, I'd probably take Middle Tennessee. I think the weather benefits those guys with big plays, some athletes, although they've got some guys hitting the portal as well. So I, That seems like a big number for a meh San Diego State team, but this is a forever flight for guys from Middle Tennessee. And these dudes are going to, you know, this is vacation time for these guys. So, I mean, most of these guys have never sniffed Hawaii before. So you can bet that they're going to be out there having a good time. So I will probably pass on this. I will be imbibing in some cocktails by this point.
You don't think there's a lot of flights from Nashville direct?
Direct? No.
Well, they probably.
I don't think there's any.
It's a connecting flight, Scott, and the shortest domestic flight you can take is 11 hours and 40 minutes here in the continental United States, by the way. You can get a direct flight for 9 hours and 11 minutes, but we'll see what's going to happen. Anyway, that's what we got for bowl season, Scotty. The only games I have got bets on thus far that I'm going to probably hammer down on, I like the over in the UTSA Troy game. I also like the Mustard Buzzards laying 6.5 in this one. And then those are probably two full unit plays that I've got. My split unit plays I've got, I like Fresno State against Washington State. And I'm going to go another Mountain West team, and I like Boise State over North Texas. Do you got anything else you want to add, or are you going to play any of those?
Nope. I'm right there with you. I think I do think that under Louisville, Cincinnati's got a chance of how nasty that weather is, all of that. That is probably the only other ball game that I will be on that we didn't mention.
And then in last but not least, do you have anything on the college football semifinal games as a look ahead for what we've got here? These games aren't going to be played till New Year's Eve. We've got TCU line open Michigan minus 10. It's now down to Michigan minus 7.5. Over-under line opened up at 60. It's down to 58.5. On the flip side, where's the other game we got here? Ohio State, UGA opened up minus 7. UGA's now down to 6.5. Over-under is at 62.5 in this one. How you feeling about either one of these?
I am going to lay chalk on Georgia, which I already have. And I'm probably going to lay chalk on Michigan with that line getting as low as it is.
I am too. I'm going to try and wait and see if I can't get a Michigan minus 7. And if I can, then I'm going to come in and pound it on this one. And we'll get more in-depth on these because I've been digging into both of these games pretty hard. And I think there's some spots that we can make some money in here. So I'm pretty excited about the rest of bowl season. Folks, that being said, hit us up on Twitter. Give us some follows. Give us some likes. It always helps with the podcast. Have a wonderful holiday season. Scotty and I will be back just before Christmas to get you through the end of the new year. It's been a lot of fun. We've had a good season, and we look forward to keeping this thing rolling.